Good morning. This is The Takeaway. Celeste Headlee here with Miles O'Brien this morning.
Good to be here.
As we speak, there is another ship full of pro-Palestinian activists on its way to Gaza this morning, an Irish boat whose passengers say they're carrying humanitarian supplies like clothing and medicine. The ship's called the MV Rachel Corrie. It's named after a 23-year-old American student who was killed by an Israeli bulldozer. Corrie was protesting the demolition of a Palestinian home. The circumstances surrounding Corrie's death in 2003 still disputed. What's not in dispute is the fact that the ship named for Corrie is on its way to Gaza. We're joined now by Andrew North, a BBC correspondent in Jerusalem. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I understand you've actually been speaking with some of the passengers on aboard the Rachel Corrie. Do they have fears for their own safety?
They say that they are at the moment very calm but very determined to carry on with their effort to try and get through the Israeli blockade of Gaza. I spoke to Mairead Maguire, who's a former Nobel Peace Prize winner, who's on the boat, and also the ship's owner, Derek Graham. They say they're currently around 150 miles off the coast of Gaza, so still quite some distance. But they say their plan is that by tomorrow morning, around 9 o'clock in the morning local time, they aim to be just outside Israel's 20-mile exclusion zone. They say they expect to be stopped, but they are still aiming to try and get through. They say they've had no contact with the Israeli authorities, but if they are boarded, they say they will not put up any resistance.
Well, the Israelis have said, let us come on, you know, let us check your contents, and then we will let you ship your humanitarian supplies into Gaza. Have they said that they would be willing to do that, have the contents checked, and then move them on?
They have not specifically said they'd be willing to have the contents checked. What they did say is that before they left, they actually left originally the port of Malta. They say they had others come on board to check it and to show that, as they say, that they say they have no weapons or anything else that could be regarded as a suspect on board. But I think the impression you get is clearly they are expecting to be stopped, because Israel has made very clear that it will not allow any ships through its blockade.
Okay, Andrew North is the BBC correspondent in Jerusalem. Thank you so much. I want to return now to Rich Cohen. He's the author of a new book called Israel is Real, An Obsessive Quest to Understand the Jewish Nation and Its History. He's also a contributing editor at Vanity Fair magazine. So, Rich, during this entire week, we have heard Israel denounced internationally because of the deaths of these nine activists earlier this week on Monday. And let me just ask you, how did we get to this point? Do you feel like this was the pro-Palestinian activist testing the limits of the blockade in order to break it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it was a trap that Israel fell into. But the situation is, it's set up this way. It's like the blockade hasn't worked, but now Israel has the blockade. It's like everything else that happens there. It's like everything's about drawing lines, and whenever a line is crossed, you have to defend the line, but you forget why the line is really there in the first place.
Okay, well, let's talk about why that line is there. It's this blockade of Gaza that began in 2007. Israel says that they began it to stop the flow of weapons going into Gaza. Number one, has that been successful, and is it still necessary?
Well, you have to remember how terrifying Hamas was, and in a way it's less terrifying now. But Hamas, there was the PLO with Yasser Arafat, and then there was Hamas. They were the suicide bombers. And suicide bombing is kind of horribly common now, but the whole idea of suicide bombing is so terrifying, and so terrifying during the Second Intifada, and behind that was Hamas. Hamas, which had a museum to suicide bombers, and the whole scene to suicide bombing. Then in the Gaza Strip, Hamas comes into power, and how do you deal with that? And the way to deal with it was first a sort of one blockade, and then after the kidnapping of this Israeli soldier a few years later, a much stricter blockade. So it's understandable why they did it. It's just that everything is the sort of conventional thing you do and nothing works. The problem with Israel is their solution tends to do them more damage than even the problem itself, it seems like. Because for Israel, world legitimacy and being a part of the world is really important. And for the world, it's also really important that Israel be part of the system, because as Israel gets pushed out of the system and condemned and felt that they have no friends, then they more and more will feel that they need to act on their own, and acting on their own is what is not acceptable to the rest of the world.
There's certainly an accepted wisdom that's coming more into play diplomatically, that you can cut down on violence in areas of war by raising the quality of life for people who perhaps are poor. That, in other words, people tie desperate measures and violence to poor standards of living, to poverty. Is there an argument to be made that if the residents of Gaza had better life standards, had better standards of living, that there would be less violence along the border there?
There is, but what's really interesting is in that region, in my opinion, cause and effect always get flipped around, which is the to some degree the violence has deteriorated the standard of life. It's not that the bad standard of life causes the violence. It's like in Israel, for example, before 1967, there were no settlements in the West Bank. The sort of violence in one way against Israel caused the settlements. It's a way to think of it. As far as violence and the standard of life on both sides, another really interesting thing is it's a part of the world where material, that is wealth, isn't really the only thing. Now, for a lot of Palestinians, what's important is beyond wealth. It's and beyond material and beyond standard of life, it's an idea. And the idea is they want their own state and they want a capital in Jerusalem and they want control of their own lives and they should have it.
All right, but how do they solve this? I mean, do you think they should ease the blockade? What should Israel's next move be if you were advising them?
I always thought that the problem that Israel had is Israel tried, peace negotiations were tried, they have failed, basically. Unilateralism by Israel, which was withdraw from Gaza, failed. And now they need a third way. And what Israel needs to do is sort of get out of these people's lives as much as possible while protecting themselves. And I think that they should draw their own border somewhere along the 67 border and sort of say we are sort of drawing the line in advance of a Palestinian state, and then try to help create a Palestinian state.
Rich Cohen, author of Israel, Israel, and a contributing editor at Vanity Fair magazine. Later this morning, we'll speak to Michael Oren. He's the current Israeli ambassador to the United States, to continue this conversation.